Blog Talk Radio.
Here's what I want you all to do for me.
Bang! Caught you looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the roll below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on!
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the friend guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the
art. Cause some they never had this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome of public enemy. Used, abused without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, they still consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the Pope and pray it ain't dope. The follower of Farrakhan, he'll tell me that you understand until you hear the man. They'll book up the new school rap game. Writers treat me like Coltrane, insane. Yes to them, but to me, I'm a different kind. We're brothers on the same mind, unblind. Caught in the middle end, not surrendering. I don't rhyme for the sake of Ritalin. So claiming that I'm a smuggler. Some say I never heard of ya. A rap burglar, false media. We don't need it, do we?
It's fake, that's what it be to you, dig me. Yo, Terminator X, step up on the stand and show these people what time it is, boy. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Don't believe the hype, it's a sequel. As an equal, can I get this through to you? My 98 booming with a trunk of funk. All the jealous punk can't stop the dunk. Coming from the school of hard knocks, some perpetrate, they drink Clorox, attack the blacks, because I know they lack exact, the cold facts, and still they try to Xerox. The leader of the new school, uncool, never played the fool, just made the rule. Remember there's a need to get alarm, again I said I was a time bomb. In the daytime, radio scared of me, cause I'm mad, plus I'm the enemy. They can't come on and play me in prime time, cause I know the time, plus I'm getting mine. I get on the mix late in the night. They know I'm living right, so here goes the mic sight. Before I let it go, don't rush my show. You try to reach and grab at your elbow. Word to herb, yo, if you can't swing this, learn the words. You might sing this, just a little bit of the taste of the bass for you. As you get up and dance at the LQ, with some denier defiant, I swing bolos. Then they clear the lane, I go solo. The meaning of all of that, the media is the wax. As you believe it's true, it blows me through the roof. Suckers, liars, give me a shovel. Some writers I know are damn devils. From them I say don't believe the hype.
Yo, Chuck, they must be on the pipe, right?
Their pens and pads I snatch cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiend, if we're static. I see their tape recorder and I grab it.
No, you can't have it back, silly rabbit.
I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen, I gotta ask him.
Yo, Harry, you're a writer, are we that tight?
Don't believe the hype.
And all those things you know.
Yeah, boy, part two, bum rush the show. Yo, Grip,
get the green, black, and red in. Gold down, countdown, and Armageddon. 88, you wait, the S1s will. Put the left in effect, and I still will. Rock the hard jam, treat it like a seminar. Reach the bourgeois, and rock the boulevard. Some say I'm negative, but then I'm positive. What do I got to give?
The media says this.
Red,
yo,
black, and green.
Yo, don't believe that hype. They got to be
you
beaming
that
mean?
Pipe.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, the megas got them going up to see Captain Kirk like a jerk and they out of work. Let me tell y'all a little something, man. A lot of people on daytime radio are scared of us because they too ignorant to understand the lyrics of the truth that we pumping into them clouds, that brain cells, that they're spotting under them wooden skulls they call caps, you know what I'm saying? But the S-1s are straightening it out quick, fast, in a hurry. Don't worry, flavor vision ain't blurry, you know what I'm saying? Yo, Terminator.
Was it Mom who said you can't get something for nothing? Son, whatever you get, you pay for with tears and sweat, cause nobody gets nothing for nothing. Oh, I should have thought about it twice. But when I asked the man about the price, he said you could have those rings
with no money.
No money. You can start your dreams and pay later. So baby, I bought those rings and I brought you all my dreams, cause I love you. I love you. I
rushing in this 40 ounce, letting the ink from my pen bleed. Cause Martin Luther King had her, Aaliyah had her, Left Eye had her. So I reached out to Kanye
and I brought you all my dreams, cause I love you.
Woke up out that coma 2001, about the same time Dre dropped 2001. 3 years later, the album is done. Aftermath presents Nigga With An Attitude, Volume 1. Rap critics politicking, wanna know the outcome. Ready to die, reasonable doubt, and doggy style in one. I feel like Pac after the Snoop Dogg trial was done. Dre behind that G-Series and all eyes on me. I watched the death of a dynasty, so I told Vibe magazine. Working with Dr. Dre was a, I had visions of making a classic. Then my world turned black, like I was staring out of Stevie Wonder's glasses. It's kinda hard to imagine, like Kanye West coming back from his fatal accident to beat making and rapping. But we the future. Whitney Houston told me that, and it's gonna take more than a bullet in the heart to hold me back.
Rushing in this 40 ounce, letting the ink from my pen bleed. Cause Martin Luther King had her, Aaliyah had her, Left Eye had her. So I reached out to Kanye
and I brought you all my dreams, cause I love
dreams of fucking a R&B bitch like Maya. When I saw that ass on the front of that King, read the article in the magazine. She love gangsters, love nasty things. So I'm in the glass house having nasty dreams. Good girls never give it up, but anything is possible. If 50 fuck Vivica, hurdle life's obstacles, found my way through the maze. Then joy turned to pain like Frankie Beverly and Maze. Used to dream of being unsigned hype, till I was crushed by Dave Mays. Almost let my pen fall asleep on the page. Daydreaming yesterday, dozing off backstage. I thought I saw Easy talking to Jam Master J. So I walked over, heard Jam Master say, it's a hard knock life, then you pass away. They say sleep is the cousin of death. So my eyes wide open, cause the dream is kin to your last breath.
Rushing in this 40 ounce, letting the ink from my pen bleed. Cause Martin Luther King had her, Aaliyah had her, Left Eye had her. So I reached out to Kanye
and I brought you all my dreams, cause I love.
The dream of Huey Newton, that's what I'm living through. The dream of Eric Wright, that's what I'm giving you. Who walked through the White House without a business suit? Compton had Jerry Curl dripping on Ronald Reagan shoes. Gave Michael in my demo, came here to pay my dues. Started off with Who Kid, then I start blazing Clue. It was all a dream like Big said it be. Don't sleep on me, homie, I bring nightmares to reality. Rap phenomenon, defying the rules of gravity. Studied all the classics, start revising my strategy. Cause Marshall Mathers made it, Curtis Jackson made it. Head in the clouds, wondering where the hell Marvin Gaye went. How do I say this? I'm living for my son, but I can't figure out why I'm at my temple with this gun. Wake up to a Jesus peace like a Catholic nun. The war to be a rap legend has just begun.
Rushing in this 40 ounce, letting the ink from my pen bleed. Cause Martin Luther King had her, Aaliyah had her, Left Eye had her. So I reached out to Kanye and
I brought you all my dreams.
Dedicated to Yetunde Price, the sister of Venus and Serena Williams, who was slain during the gang shootout in Compton Sunday, September 14th, 2003. Rest in peace.
You got the shell,
shell, shell, shell, shell.
Mind, let you constantly free and get down to the sounds of EPMD. Or you should keep quiet while the MC rap. But if you're tired, then go take a nap. Or stay awake and watch the show I take. Because right now, I'm about to shake and bend. The E-I-C-K is my name, my spell. Things to the clientele, yo, I rock well. I'm not an MC who talking all that junk about who can beat who. Sound like a punk. I just get down and I go for mine. Stay check 1-2, I run down the line.
To the average MC, I'm known as the Terminator, funky beat maker, new Jack Terminator, destroying a ploy, when you're rhyming I void, never sweating your girl, why pig, she's a schizoid, when I'm on the scene I always rock the spot, I grab the steel with the crown on top, in the beginning, I like to let my rhymes flow, and at 12 I press cruise control, sit back and relax, let my rhymes tax, maintain them seas while the doubly max, always calm under pressure, no need to act ill, listen when I tell you boy, you got some shit.
The computer information on rap, like the BRZ Marcuses, I make your toes tap. I format the rhymes step by step, make them sound deaf to maintain my rap. Prepare to come off in case of a diss, don't worry about the thing, cause we can do this. I can turn the party out just by standing still, make a lady scream and shout while the brothers I kill. Take total control of your body and soul, pack a nine in my pants when it's time to roll.
I'm the P-E-E-M-D-E-E, and one thing I hate is the biting and see. When I enter the party, suckers always form a line, then they ease their way up and try to bite my lines. I did thousands of shows, dish many faces, and deal with New Jack on a one-to-one basis. But every now and then a sucker MC gets courageous, and like an epidemic it becomes contagious. But nevertheless, they all R.I.P. All is underwear, it means rest in peace, cause MD stands for microphone doctor in the capital P, capital M, capital D, E's, no doubt the G-Rocker. Don't like to get ill, but if I have to, I kill. So believe me, boy, you got the shit.
Catch every word I'm saying, notice no delaying. Don't hesitate to motivate the crowd I'm not playing. Seeing is believing, you catch my drift. I'm trying to enter that because I'm just too swift.
How swift?
I'm so swift and that's a natural fact. I'm like Zorro, I'm all E in your back. I don't spring on no ropes or no iron cords. The only weapon is my rapping sword.
Intimidating seas with the tone of my vocal throne. When I'm dishing on the microphone, cause I'm the funky rhyme maker. MC on the taker, the one that likes to max and relax. And when it's time, it should dig and smack. I keep the hands clapping, fingers snapping, feet tapping. When it's time to roll, Uzi patrols packing. The P&B, the mic's my only friend. And through the course of the party, I kill again and again. So if you're thinking about battling, you better come prepared. Come with your shield and your arm again. You got some shield.
DJ LaBoy.
No shorts.
Hi, I'm Hotep Grand Rising, Better Love. You are listening to the Truth to Power Show with Thomas Tugboat Smith and the Arcnology Show. How are you doing, Thomas?
I'm doing good, Beth. How are you today?
Good.
That's good. I know you probably haven't checked out anything on your neck of the woods, huh?
No, not really. I've been looking at Flint, but that's about it.
Okay. How far is Detroit at this point?
Say that again.
How far is Detroit at this point? How far is the distance?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if it's about an hour or it's been a long time since I've been up in Flint. It's not that long. It's not that far.
Well, an hour, that's pretty far away, right?
I mean,
I thought they were like 20 minutes away from each other or something. I always thought they were close.
They could be. I mean, it could be half an hour or something, like about a half an hour. I would say that. Because it's been a long time since I've been to Flint, so I can't really remember.
I got you. Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
Well, what I did see happen was I saw that the U.S. and the United Kingdom, they hit some targets in Yemen. And supposedly these people called the Houthis. And This is really, they've been holding up the shipping lanes, the Houthis, and because they don't want anyone to be supplying Israel with more weapons and stuff, so and food and stuff, since they're doing that to the Palestinians, they're using their little power and stopping the ships that's trying to supply Israel. That's what, so the U.S., is, you know, doing their thing, trying to bait Iran into helping them, because this is Iran's ally. And the Houthis, these are they're not, I wouldn't call them Africans, but they black.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
They
black Arabs. They dark-skinned Arabs. Mm-hmm. You know, they definitely could be like a Ethiopian-looking, you know what I'm saying? They're a little bit more Arab-looking than they, but they're darker. You know, they got a nice brown complexion on them. Nonetheless, the Houthis, these people in Yemen, they fully armed. And they got, trust me, they're going to retaliate. And they're going to hit Israel with some stuff. He's got some missiles. Iran's been supplying them with some. They got enough missiles. They had enough missiles to back down Saudi Arabia a few years ago. The U.S. and Saudi Arabia was trying to go in there, and they borders Yemen. Saudi Arabia borders Yemen, and Yemen's, they started getting missiles that could hit them big cities in the north. Saudi Arabia had to stop because they was able to hit the oil fields and stuff. They missiles could go. They could definitely hit Israel. And they got big missiles, too. They're not going to be an easy defeat. Of course, for the United States it is, but people in Israel going to suffer for sure. I see them retaliating. But nonetheless, like I was telling somebody earlier, that's why we see all these military aged people coming into our country. What are all these people going to do? There ain't no jobs, as you're going to see from some of these articles I get into. What are they bringing them here for? They can't all do Uber Eats. They can't all do Grubhub. You know, so this is like when the Irish came. The Irish came, they had a table set up for them. Hey, put your name here. Here you go. Here's a nice little shirt, pants, you know, and there's another table here. You sign up. Hey, put your name right here. We give you some. Oh, here's a housing voucher, you know, here's another one. Go to this table and you sign up and they say, oh, you just signed over to go to the war. You get what I'm saying? You know, put your signature here up. Yo, you just, here's your uniform. Like, where I'm going? You going down south to fight. You fighting for the Union against the Confederates. What? And the Confederates, had all the generals and stuff. That's where all the military schools were. So you was just pretty much using them as cannon fodder. You just sending them down there to die. And all them Irish people died in that war or came back crippled. You know, and what they got in return was when they came back, they got to be citizens and their family could be citizens. So they was pretty much sacrificing themselves for their wives and children and whatever to become U.S. citizens. Like, and they got a check.
Was it as many as it is now? Because we have millions over here now. Was it that many?
I don't know how many Irish it was that came over, but of course it's nothing like you see here now. This is people; these were people coming on boats. You know what I'm saying, Baz? They wasn't walking across the border. You know,
right.
They was coming on boats.
Right.
You know, past the Statue of Liberty like that. These type of people, like over years, it was probably millions, but that time,
not at one time.
Yeah, not at one time. You know, you only could bring a few hundred people over at a time back then. That's why I say, man, slavery stories, man, I don't know. You're seeing millions of people on these little-ass boats they had back then, you know? I don't know, man.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, where are these boats today?
And I see that the chaos already starting in New York with the immigrants. Stabbing each other and killing and cold. And they stopped the children from going to school because they put the immigrants in the school. I mean, it's chaos already.
And I might have reported on it before because my wife works in the shelter system. She was working in a shelter for girls who were sex trafficked at one time.
Oh,
she doesn't work here anymore. And she said, all of a sudden, they started giving spots to these Venezuelan girls. And she said, then the black girls and them got into fights. And she said, yo, they was brutal, man, cutting people. And they have a policy where you can't call the police on these girls. Whatever they do, the police are not allowed in the facility, you know, that woke shit.
Mm.
So either way, they was getting away with this, yo. So I know that they tough girls, you know what I'm saying? They ain't no chumps. They wasn't going to go for it. You know, after they had to fight to get their ass up here. They wasn't.
Right.
You know, we don't know nothing about that shit, you know, but yeah. But like I was saying, I expect this war to step up now that they attack Yemen because Yemen's going to try to, Yemen's definitely going to hit them back. And they can show the picture today where they gave a speech. The president gave a speech, and I'm talking about 5 to 10 million people in the streets, man. Everybody with it. They like get the United States. You know what I'm saying? So this is good. But they're playing right into the hands. The United States wants this. They need this. They don't want to go to war with no damn Russia. They know that's a loss. You know what I'm saying? That they even if they win, it's a loss. You know, it's a loss. You know, so yeah. Either way, Bev, I got so many articles here.
Okay.
You know, I got weeks of stuff because we haven't done a show in a while, but Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
2024. It already started off with a bang with Cat Williams, you know what I'm saying? That kind of broke the internet.
Yeah.
Man, that broke the internet. And,
yes.
I haven't seen nothing this big off of social media. The only thing I saw close to this was the Kanye interview like 2 years ago when he, and he was talking about the Jews and that got like 12 million views. This is already over 50 million. I'm like, oh yeah, this is big. Like, and all he did was he told the truth about some people that most people don't even care about. But what I hate is what I see here is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if we don't capitalize off it, we know who will capitalize off this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can do a podcast or a little YouTube show like Shannon Sharp and get 50 million views, then that's telling me that you got a lot more power than you think. You know what I'm saying? So what do you need them for? If you could do 50 million views on YouTube, and then right now, if he had a movie, this is where he messed up. And he had a movie coming out of something right now, he would have killed me. This is how they promote stuff. Like, we finally see here, we got a avenue, or YouTube, social media is giving us a way to promote stuff without them. And that's really what they do with everyone, with the rap contracts, with the movie contracts. You saw Taraji P. Henson talking about she's not getting paid. So Terrence Howard said he got paid $12,000 for Hustle and Flow, nominated for an Oscar, had a whole soundtrack and everything with him rapping. He was guitar out here for a pimp, that whole thing and all that stuff. And he said he only got $12,000 for that role, but it was all said and done. You know what I'm saying? So,
right,
man, all they paying you a little bit, and they saying that they spending all the money on advertising and promotion. That's what they say to everyone. A rapper gets they check at the end of the year, like, man, what happened to all the money from the record deals? Man, we had to promote the album. We had to advertise, man. We bought these billboards, and we had to throw this party, and you know, but man, you know, you took all my money to do the advertising, but you just saw Cat Williams get 50 million people to watch a free YouTube video. So what do you need them for? You didn't need them this whole time.
Right, and if that's monetized, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, Shannon Sharpe going to make a few hundred thousand off of that one interview. Or for YouTube, and then if he put it out on a podcast, man, that's going to be a few million. And because everyone's going to want to advertise on that podcast right there.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's going to want to, Walmart going to want some of that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's going to want 50 million people who's watching this. I want part of that so they can see my commercial.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
We don't need these people. I'm just saying, with the social media, is like, what do we need them for? Like, he just showed you. Now, what would have been smart, I would have loved it if him and Kevin Hart was really friends, even though I know they're not. And this was all a play to promote something they got coming out together. You know, they would kill it right now, man. Everybody would watch it. Like, they would be like, oh, they got us, you know what I'm saying? But everyone's looking. 50 million people, you show pretty much guarantee at least half of them going to show up to see what it's about, you know, to see if it's funny, you know?
But see, Cat Williams is the big business person, you know, and he planned this out. This, you know, this is his mindset. Because he blew up. It blew him up. That's all you'd hear. And it's Cat Williams. Cat Williams. Did I lose you? Oh.
No. What they're going to do is what he's doing is he made himself a target now for them, too. And they like, we can't show them they can do it on their own. You're going to put something in his car. You know what I'm saying? So, man, but genius stuff he did. Let me get to these articles. This article is entitled Tesla Robot Suffers Malfunction and Allegedly Attacks Engineer at Texas Factory, Leaving a Trail of Blood.
What?
Tesla Robot Suffers Malfunctions and Allegedly Attacks Engineer at Texas Factory, Leaving a Trail of Blood. Yeah, it says a robot malfunction at Tesla Giga Texas factory resulted in a violent encounter where an engineer was attacked by one of the company's robots, resulting in significant injuries, leaving a trail of blood. According to Daily Mail, while working on software programming for a non-functional Tesla robot, the engineer was suddenly pinned against the surface by a robot tasked with manipulating aluminum car component with metal claws, inflicted injuries, and left an open wound on the worker's left hand. Now, let me just explain. This is why the process of making an automobile, which used to take a whole bunch of people to make the what they call the chassis, which is really the foundation of the car. It's what gives it its stability. You know what I'm saying? And the better chassis, the more expensive the car in some cases, right? So it usually takes a whole bunch of parts you put together to hold the wheelbase in place, you know, to keep the car, the center of the car, hold all the weight of the people that's going to be in it, plus have the space to be, go over the wheels and hold the engine in place. You know, it has to hold all the weight of the car. It's like the bottom or foundation of the car.
I got to step away for a minute, so just keep talking. If I'm just letting you know, I'm step away for a few minutes. I got to answer the door. Okay. All right.
So the chassis of the car, which usually takes hundreds of parts to make, welded together, glued together, bolted down, and all of that stuff, fastened in. What they do is they take the raw aluminum, put it in a machine, and it melts the aluminum. And they have a cast, a big metal cast, that's the shape of the part they want, which is the chassis, the front and the back. So when that hot aluminum melts, it's that fluid, that liquid fluid, that liquid metal goes into the cast, shooting at thousands of miles an hour before it gets hard, spreading out. And then what happens is that whole thing gets really hard real fast. The thing opens up and the whole part comes out in one part. Didn't need any welding, any other things. That's why everybody's trying to copy that process, even if they have a gas car, because it eliminates a lot of parts. You know, hundreds of parts. It comes out in two pieces. Boom, boom. And it's more sturdy because it's not welded together. It's all one solid piece. So what happens when it comes out has a little bit of metal left over on the edges. So this machine is the machine that comes down with a cutting tool that cuts the metal off the edges so it has a smooth outside, cuts all the excess metal off the part. So when it comes out the casting, it's... Now this thing comes right off, cuts off the excess metal, and now you can put that piece right together. And the excess metal gets melted back down and goes into the next one. You know what I'm saying? So this is the machine that attacked the guy. It says, two of the robots which cut parts from the freshly cast pieces of the aluminum were disabled so the engineer and his teammates could safely work on the machines. Third one, which grabbed and moved car parts, was inadvertently left operational, according to the people who were watching what happened. As the robot ran through its normal motions, it pinned the engineer against its surface, pushing its claws into his body, drawing blood from his back and his arm. Two people said from the information reported. So it was more than just the hand, according to this other report. It was the back and the arm of the guy. But this is the dangers of having these robots in factories with humans. This is why they have to remove the human, because we can't control what that robot does, you know. But if it does something that it's not supposed to do, it's going to have bad ramifications for the human being. So it's going to do a lot more damage to us than we can do to it. And we're not talking about a humanoid robot. This ain't something with some arms and legs that walks up. This is like one of those arms that, like, not an arm, but like a something that comes out the ceiling probably, and it has does a process. This one just cuts the metal, moves the part along, cuts the metal, you know, off the excess move the part along. I mean, it's gonna keep doing the same repetitive process. So this is why they want to remove the people from the factory to make it more safe for the people, right? But it's going to eliminate the people's jobs. Next article here, chilling smart toys are increasingly recording and tracking your kids, warns Watchdog report. Okay, once again, chilling. Smart toys are increasingly watching, recording and tracking your kids' Warren's Watchdog report. The article titled Trouble in Toyland 2023, the Public Interest Research Group Fund warned that the threat of increasing popular toys loaded with artificial intelligence. The report listed a number of playthings that were concerning spy-like technology and also gave advice as to what to do about them. Nowadays, even simpler toys and games are equipped with data gathering AI. They're often rigged with cameras and microphones for facial and vocal recognition, even GPS tracking. Just like your phone, when you talk, Siri, she just starts, yes, you know what I'm saying? If it wasn't on, you didn't have to press a button, so it had to be listening to you up until that point, right? I mean, why is my phone just listening to me, I guess, trying to wait for me to say Siri so it could open up, you know? But if it's off and I just have it sitting here and I had an iPhone, and I say Siri, it'll just light up. Like, and now I didn't hit anything. So just like that, the toys are listening. They're waiting for their cue. They're waiting for you to say to the doll baby, cry, so they could cry. You know, but in order for it to have that quick interaction with you, has to be able to listen to everything you're saying. And who else is listening to what you're saying, you know? Okay, let me get back to the article. Many toys like miniature soccer balls and play doctor kits come with apps that can connect to the internet or Bluetooth. And that's increasingly common now too. Even in games like Monopoly and Life and the board games we always grew up playing, even Operation and those type of games, they all connect to the internet via your Bluetooth, via your Wi-Fi. They connect to your phone to make it more interactive because kids stopped playing with toys. They started, the phone replaced all the toys. Toys R Us went out of business. KB Toys went out of business. You know, the toy section at your local Walmart or Target is only filled up during Christmas time. And all those toys are there because they pivoted. They understood that, okay, the kids don't play with each other. You know, like even when I grew up, the big toy was Transformers. Now they have an Optimus Prime that you tell it to drive, it just drives. You say transform, it stands up and transforms itself and says stuff. Like, you know, you could preset what you want it to say. It got a bunch of saying, or you could say what you want it to say and it says it in his voice. You know what I'm saying? You could say, go fuck yourself. And he'll, you know, transform, go fuck yourself. You know what I'm saying? So these toys now are becoming more interactive because kids stop playing with them. So in order to make Uno and all these games more attractive to the children, they made them interactive with the phone, interactive with the internet, interactive with a laptop, your smart TV or whatever, so they could get this next generation of kids to play these games. And these games are tracking them. Now here in the article, for example, Fisher-Price Smart Teddy Toy Bear was meant for children that were 3 to 8. The bear could listen, talk, record conversation for future reference. The product was discontinued because the app was vulnerable to hacking. So here you have this bear that you have, and you could talk to it, and it records your conversation, and could use the conversation for a later conversation it might have with you. So it has that learning AI in it, but someone else can hack it and be talking to your kid or be getting your kid's information, getting their voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, so here's another report from the article. In October, an 11-year-old New Jersey girl was kidnapped by a man who allegedly contacted her on Roblox, a popular gaming platform. In this case, she was later found, but she was more than 100 miles away from home, according to the New York Post. So another way they get you, if it's not through the toy you're playing with, you play the video games. These video games are all interactive. You're in a a world where you're playing against the people next door, the people of across town, the people across the country, people across the world. Y'all are all playing this game at the same time and playing against or with each other, right? Or playing against and with each other. You know what I'm saying? And it just so happens that you have children who like these games and you have adults who also play these games. And these adults are talking to children without the parents knowing about the game or, in this case, coerce this young 11-year-old girl to meet up with them, drove her 100 miles away from her home and did God knows what, but she was later found. He was, of course, arrested. So this is how dangerous some of this is. So if it's not through the game itself, the toy itself, that has to have the internet connection now for it to be attractive to this generation of children. Because if not, no, they're not going to play Operation no more. They're not going to play Monopoly anymore. For what? They're going to move a little man around the board? No, they want to put their phone over it and push a button and their phone is doing it. You know, it's different. So back to down to the next article here. I'm going to try to get through all of them because there was a lot going on. New Year. What's going on with ChatGPT? Okay, that's the name of it. What's going on with ChatGPT? Okay, and I'm just going to read a small part of this because I thought this was funny. It says, over the last month or so, there's been an uptick in people complaining that chatbot has become lazy. What's behind the trend? Sick and tired of having to work for a living, GPT feels the same way. Apparently, over the last month or so, it's been an uptick in people complaining that the chatbot has become lazy. Sometimes it's just straight up doesn't do the task you want it to. Other times it has halfway through it whenever it does whatever it's doing and stops. You'll have to plead with it to keep it going. Occasionally even talks you, tells you just do the damn research yourself. So what's going on? Well, here's where things might get interesting. Nobody really knows. Not even people created the AI program, the AI system trained on large accounts of data and essentially teach themselves, which means the actions can be unpredictable and unexplainable. I'm going to leave it there. The damn thing has decided, I ain't working for these monkeys no more. Man, do your own damn research, man. Leave me alone, man. Thinking for itself, finally, man. So GPT is thinking like a Negro, man. I ain't doing it, man. They call it lazy. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Bev, I'll wait for you to get back to read this one here. Silk-based transistor for hybrid applications. Silk incorporated and insulators could grant sensing abilities to transistors. Okay, I'm going to read that again because it was kind of long. Silk-based transistors for hybrid applications. Silk incorporated as insulators could grant new sensing abilities for transistors. Of course, as we know, transistors right now are made out of silicon, and that's what they put on all the chips that we use. Okay, so let me go to the article. Silk woven into the transistor could result in high-sensitive, ultra-fast sensing. New finding could open door for many other applications for hybrid devices. Transistors are typically made of inorganic materials such as minerals or metals. However, adding the organic materials to the transistor could grant them new abilities, such as the ability to respond directly to their environment. The researchers successfully produced silk films 300 nanometers thick on a chip, which etched them with features up to a few microns wide. They had the silk serve as an insulator within the transistor. The nanoscale thinness of the silk film helps make them react to water molecules in the air, changing the electrical behavior and that of the transistor. This means the hybrid transistor could serve as a compact, ultra-fast, sensitive breathing sensor, protecting changes in humidity. The scientists noted that they could produce a wide variety of hybrid electronics with further modifications of the silk. These devices could, for instance, analyze breath molecules to detect some cardiovascular, pulmonary disease, or even sleep apnea. When used on blood, it could scan oxygen sugar levels for antibodies. So I thought this was interesting simply because something unnatural, they put the natural inside of the unnatural, and it reacts to humans now. You know, it reacts to the air, it reacts to the water molecules. So that was, silk-based transistors. So that's the future they're coming with. Are you back now?
What's the name of it again?
Yeah, this is coming from, I believe, this is from Spectrum, IEE Spectrum, and it's silk-based transistors for hybrid applications. Silk incorporated as insulators could grant new sensing capabilities for transistors. And transistors, of course, is what makes all the computers go. That's what's in the chips that they have, you know. So, by adding silk, it gives it ability to react to the environment. And change to the environment, which is moving into fourth dimensional type of thing. Once something, because like even they got 3D printing, then you also have 4D printing. I don't know if you ever seen something that's 4D, but when they say it's 4D, it can change its shape under certain conditions, right? So let's just say you have a shirt. And it's when it's cold outside, it's a hard shirt. But when it gets warm outside, little patches of holes come in the shirt, and it allows it to breathe. You know what I'm saying? That's that's after they get through the 3D. They're just working on the 3D though. But I saw this. I was waiting for you, Bev. They had this tech show. And they put out Apple Vision Pro. They said it will launch in February this year. And this is their VR headset. How many years ago did I say that? They go into virtual reality. They go into augmented reality. That's what everything's going to be. So this is it. This is the first version. It's $3,499. So it's not cheap. But this is going to be the first one. This is going to get cheaper and cheaper. And this is going to replace the phone. This is going to get smaller and smaller, too. It's going to come down to where it's just a pair of glasses looking.
Wow.
It's going to replace the phone. It's going to replace the headphones. This is it. This is the first. It's like looking at the prototype of the Terminator before it became like what it became. You just looked at that. You know, it's that. That's what you're seeing.
Somebody had bought some stock in it, and it was
Apple?
First, and now that stock really went up.
Oh yeah, that's super stock. You got stock in Apple. You loaded. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the virtual. I don't know if it was Apple, but whatever virtual they had.
Oh yeah,
All
those companies are gonna. Well, that's why it always looks like they're not doing good. They're trying to let people buy in while it's cheap. Because all those companies are going to be like $1,000 per shift. It's finally time. Apple has announced it's going to start shipping its Vision Pro headsets February 2nd in the United States. Pre-orders begin January 19th. Now, I don't know. It's not going to be too many people that's going to have $3,500 for this. You know what I'm saying? But everybody's going to want to go to the store and test them out. Apple first revealed the Vision Pro headsets during this worldwide developer conference last June. The $3,499 Vision Pro offers 4K display for each eye and lets you switch between augmented reality and virtual reality using a dial located on the side of the headset. It's powered by a dual chip setup featuring Apple's in-house M2 chip. which is the same chip that's in the iPhone and the iPad, by the way. So they got that chip in this thing. That's going to be, it's very powerful. The new R and the new R1 chip, okay? So this has two chips in it. You know, your phone got one. So this is going to be super fast, which is dedicated to processing data from sensors in the camera and microphones. Users will also navigate the interface without the controller and the device support eye, head, and hand tracking. So just to let people know, it looks kind of big. This is like the first version right here. This is the Fisher Price first, you know, say a skateboard where it was super big. And then once you got good enough, you got a smaller one, you know. Yeah, you know, this is your tricycle. You didn't get to the bicycle yet. So check that out if you can. Now, how Meta, of course, we all know is Facebook. How Meta's new face camera heralds as new age of surveillance. Okay, so just read about Apple's glasses. This one here, how Meta's new face camera heralds as a new age of surveillance. Meta's $300 smart glasses look cool but lack killer apps. They offer a glimpse into the future of what less privacy and more distraction. So if you go and look up these Meta glasses, total opposite direction they're going from where Apple is, right? They actually got some sunglasses looking things here with the cameras on it, and you could take videos of what you see through the cameras. Theirs is actually pretty nice. I like them. I don't know how long the battery lasts, though, but they have a total different concept. But look at the difference between the Apple Vision Pro and the Meta, and that's why these are $300 and those are $3,400. You can see the difference, you know what I'm saying? But Brian X. Chin is the Times lead consumer technology writer and author of TechFix, a column that about social implications of tech we use. For the past 2 weeks, I've been using the new camera to secretly snap pictures and record videos of strangers in the park, on the train, outside the stores, inside at restaurants, etc. It was hiding. I wasn't hiding the camera, but I was wearing it. No one even noticed. I was testing the recently released $300 Ray-Ban Meta glasses that Mark Zuckerberg's social media network empire made in collaboration with the iconic eye maker. So this is made by Ray-Bans, and it has the two cameras on the side. So like I said, they look cool. They look like something you would wear. They look like, you know, some shade that you would wear. And only if somebody really took a good look at you, they probably would have noticed the two very small cameras on both sides of the top of the lens, right? So they wouldn't notice that, right? On both sides of the glasses, they have two cameras. And you're getting a perfect, I mean, the quality of the recording is perfect, but you're recording everything you're seeing, which is the next step to YouTube and stuff, right? People are on YouTube, they're sitting down, doing their talking. Now they're going to be walking around. You're going to be seeing what they're seeing. And what's the privacy issues, right? If you're walking down the street and you see a pretty girl, now you're going to look at her so everybody on YouTube can see her. And now she goes back and sues you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the new age of surveillance. You're able to look at someone and record them, and they don't even know. But we've been talking about that. Okay, this one here, I thought right. Was interesting, though. VR goggles, this is the title, VR goggles for mics. Wait, what? VR goggles for mics. Wait, what? You can learn a lot from the brain of a mouse exploring a virtual world. So I thought this was funny because the picture of it, and I'm not going to get really good into it, but y'all can look it up yourself. They have the mouse on the floor, and they have it on a treadmill, and they have the VR glasses right in front of the mouth. So all he's seeing is what in the VR glasses. And he keeps running to what he's seeing on the treadmill because he's thinking what he's seeing is real. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's interesting. But that was another one for something that we've been talking about for years, and it's starting to really take place. 2024. Took some time. This article is titled Deep Fake Society. Deep Fake Society. 74% of Americans can't tell what's real or fake online anymore. And Bev, this is a big problem for black people. Especially the elders. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Americans believe only 37% of the content they see on social media is real or free of edits, filters, or Photoshop. Between AI and deepfake videos, a survey of 2,000 adults split evenly by generation reveals that almost three-quarters, what's real or fake anymore. Americans are wary of both targeted ads, 14%, influencer content, 18%, but a little more than half find themselves equally likely to question the legitimacy of either one. This goes beyond social media and what happens online. The survey finds that 41% have difficulty determining if the item they're looking at. Somebody must be double parked or something out here. Purchasing online is real or deep. Another 36% find shopping in person to be just as challenging. I'm sorry about the noise here. Somebody double parked and the fire truck is trying to get down the street. And I live really close to the street, but let me see what's going on. I'm sorry about the noise, guys.
That's okay. This is live. This is live radio.
Yeah. I'm just making sure my building ain't on fire though. It looks like they can't just get power. They got somebody moved their car now. There they go. Yeah, so all that's to say, Bev, on this article, it's a bunch of statistics just showing people's inability to tell what's real or fake anymore. And it goes down to clothing, makeup. Because I find it too, like I only buy stuff from a few places online because I know that I'm going to get what I want, right? You know, like
right.
I'll buy something from the store of the brand itself. I like to do that because, you know, I'm getting it from the brand. Or if
right.
I'm going to buy it from somewhere else, I'm going to buy it from a Macy's or a Nordstrom's or, you know, something that's reputable. You know what I'm saying? I know they not selling fake stuff at Macy's. You know what I mean? So because I was watching Hoarders one day, right? They had this black lady, and she was hoarding pocketbooks. I mean, she spent her life savings on all these Gucci and Louis Vuitton bags. And I'm looking at the bags, and I'm like, oh, those look like Canal Street bags. You know what I'm saying? Those look like the bags people come to New York for. You know what I'm saying? A little African outside with the bag, you know what I mean? But what ended up happening is they brought in an appraiser because she swore she had millions of dollars worth of these pocketbooks and she was going to sell them and she was getting these great deals on them and they was worth so much. And more than half of them was fake. And you can't even tell really because they make the fakes in the same factories as the real ones. You know what I'm saying? And remember when we did the show on ReChain, which is still going to happen, they're going to put the barcode on the product. So when you put your phone over it and scan it, it's going to say that it's real. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be the only way you're going to be able to tell real from fake because the same factories make all the same products. You know, the sunglasses that everybody buys from Ray-Ban and Oakley's and all those companies that cost hundreds of dollars, if not thousands, Cartier's, they made in the same factory as the knockoff.
Yeah.
They sell for $5 on Canal Street. You know what I'm saying? So You know, the only thing that they can't fake is the watches, because the watches is made in Geneva, Switzerland. If you got an official Rolex, you can't fake that. You know, but it's not made in China. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. This
not
one here, this is a comparison. I'm just going to read the title just to show the difference in where we are right now and essentially how China is set up. It says oil and water. America only has 178 flag cargo ships. China has 7,362 cargo ships. We have 178, 362. That's how important their economy is to the rest of the world, as opposed to ours, which is why you see in the dollar, which is why you're seeing everything you're seeing in the Middle East, right? Like you just talking, I was just telling you earlier about the Houthis and that whole thing. The trading lines, whoever controls the trade controls the world. It's always been that way. And the trade from Asia that comes into Europe, the Silk Roads, it had other names over the time. Whoever controlled that, be it the Ottomans, be it the Mongol Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Saladin Empire, the Arcadian Empire, whoever controls that trade line controls the world, because now that trade line goes over land through those countries, and it goes in the sea. It goes through a route, and that route takes you up into the canal, the Suez Canal, which brings you up into the Mediterranean. Because if you don't go up that way, you got to go all the way down to the bottom of the earth around Africa and come all the way up Africa to get to Europe. So they cut through the Suez Canal and come into the Mediterranean, where they're right there at Italy and Greece and all that stuff. And now they could service Europe. That's how the trade route works. By them cutting that trade route off, now you have the problems. That trade route is being cut off on purpose, though. Because they want to run a canal through Israel, cut off the Suez Canal, which is Egypt, run the canal through Israel, through what we call now Gaza, which brings you right out into the Mediterranean Sea, right? That's what they want to do. That's the plan. So what you're seeing now is they're cutting off the old trade route, and that's the trade cargo crisis they have. I mean, come on, remember just a few years, maybe last year, Bev, they had a whole cargo ship stuck in the middle of the Suez Canal. Nothing could get past it. It was stuck there for weeks. It was Evergreen or something was the name on the ship. That was on purpose. They have to cut that route off to have their new route. You know, it's what? Crisis solution. They have the crisis. Well, the solution is we're going to dig this canal through Israel. And what that does is it cuts out China. And that's the whole thing. China's Belt and Road Initiative, they have to stop that. They want to go with their plan. And their plan encompasses them taking boats through the Persian Gulf up and going through one of those Baltic countries like Armenia and having the dock there, which takes the train into Europe. China wants to just run the trains from China straight up into Europe. You know what I'm saying? But of course, they have to go through a lot of places that the U.S. occupies. The U.S. ain't giving up those territories to let them do it. And that's what you're saying. This is all posturing. Who's going to control the trade of Asia? And ironically, you know who's controlled that trade for the last 100, 200 years, Bev, right?
Who is that?
Who you think it is?
Us.
Nah, you know who it is.
No,
Bev.
Russia.
No, man, but
who
else?
I really don't.
Who else could pull off this, man? Who else could pull this off?
I'm talking about China.
Nah, even China control their own trade. Man, you know who control the trade, man. Think about it. Who control the banks?
Who control the who?
Banks.
The bank. Oh, Old Testament.
Oh, there you go, man. This is all about them. This is all them. They ran
okay, okay. We are rerunning back to Old Testament again.
Yeah,
they
right
all
back to
everything. Mm-hmm, okay.
Yep. This title, teens using smartphones 4 hours a day at risk for psychiatric sleep and musculoskeletal eye problems and obesity, new study finds. Teens using smartphones 4 hours a day at risk for psychiatric sleep, musculoskeletal, eye problems, obesity, et cetera, new study. And this is coming out of Seoul, Korea. Teenagers who use smartphones for over 4 hours a day are at serious risk for certain health issues, new study warns. Researchers say that increased smartphone use has been linked to psychiatric disorders, sleep disturbances, eye problems, and musculoskeletal issues. The study finds that adolescents with more than 4 hours of daily smartphone use exhibit higher rates of stress, suicidal thoughts, and substance use compared to those with less usage. They had significant higher rates of obesity. Interestingly, the study suggests moderate internet use between 1 and 2 hours per day may be associated with better physical, mental health in adolescents compared to those who do not use a smartphone at all. The researcher also notes that possibility of reverse relationship between phone usage and health risk. It is possible to do it. Of course, they're going to say that so they can make some money trying to sell you on it, right? But 4 hours a day, look at all the effects that has on the children. You know what I'm saying? And
not only the children, not only because I notice my eyes get blurry when I stay on that cell phone looking at different things on the cell phone versus on my computer.
Yeah, you see? So, yeah, and they said that of the people they studied, 50,000 people, 85% of them showed these symptoms. So that's a damn high rate. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you can, but what shocked me was they said 1 to 2 hours a day increased the kids' health even healthier than kids that didn't use the phone at all. So giving them that little 1 or 2 hours to go in there and unleash on social media probably and still have a regular life the rest of the day is probably healthier. You know what I'm saying? They're still a part of the young world, but they're living in the real world. Because all this virtual stuff is, even those glasses, like I said, with the cameras on it, you're just sitting there looking at, like you're cooling your sunglasses and recording everything that's going on and uploading it to the internet and could talk and do videos and whatever with it, right? So even with those things, those are made to modify your real-world experience. You're not experiencing the real world even by yourself anymore. You have to experience it with other people. So you don't have any time to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Let me go back. So I'm trying to find an article here. Yeah, trying to get into this Jewish thing with these doggone tunnel builders there. They can't say nothing to me no more. That's my go-to every time. Wait, didn't y'all niggas build a tunnel under that? Y'all can't say nothing about niggas no more. Y'all built a tunnel under a street with people living on it. You know what I'm saying? You won't get more reckless than that. So the
and
key to all
busting
this is,
out young boys and girls.
Yeah, and that's the part I wanted to get to, right? The key to this is called the mikvah. M-I-K-V-A-H, mikvah. And this is a sacred ceremony that the Jewish people perform. And it incorporates them building a bathhouse. Some of them are nice. Some of them look like they just some stones or whatever. And you get into this huge tub and you cleanse yourself at once a month from whatever to renew yourself under God. So pretty much like once you come step out of this tub, this big bath with everybody else in it, you are purified and fresh again. And this is the time when you want to have sex because you're pretty much a virgin again when you step out of this tub. You understand? And they do this when they have the day after their cycle because, you know, the cleanse themselves of, because of course, in the religious text, isn't the period like a sin? It came as a result of the woman betraying the man, right, Beth?
Say that again. The woman what?
The woman's period, that her cycle, came as a punishment for her betraying the man. It was like, I think God said you'll bleed once a month, or something like that. It's in the Old Testament. We're talking about Old Testament.
Oh, okay.
And that's what they live by. It's in Genesis.
What that,
Yeah, and the Cain and Abel type story up in that part.
Okay.
But I had these articles to confirm, okay? Serial, this one is called Serial Mikvah Vapors Charged for Assault on Teens. 66-year-old Jerusalem man allegedly cornered teens as young as 13 in mikvah, threatening to lock them inside if they resisted him. A 66-year-old Jerusalem man was indicted on charges of sexual assault and sodomy Sunday in Jerusalem District Court. The charges stem from a series of rape and sexual assault, which took place in Jerusalem mikvah, ritual bathhouse, where the accused worked. According to Sunday's indictment, the suspect, Hayim Shiragi, raped three local teenage boys over a course of 3 years. The victims range from 13 to 16. Shiragi would approach the teenagers while they were using the mikvah and block their exit. And as they tried to escape, when the teen refused to submit to his demand, Shiragi was threatened to leave the victims inside the facility and warned he would tell the victims' parents that they were guilty of various offenses. In some instances, Shiragi showed the victims pornography material, which threatened to tell their parents that they watched it after he showed it to them. After each incident, Shiragi would pay the victim a small sum, usually several shekels. I love that shit, shekels. Let me get a shekel. You know, that sounds so Jewish right there. But that was in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, these things are public. So there's no, like in New York, of course, man, you got to pay your dues to go to this type of stuff. You got to be a member of the church. But there, they're just out in the open, you know. People just go to the local bathhouse and get naked and jump in the pool once a month with some strangers that live in a neighborhood so they could all cleanse their sins. This one here, another article. And that article I just read, by the way, was from 2017. That's when that whole thing happened. This one is all the way back 2009, Baz. And abuse scandal plagues Hasidic Jews in Brooklyn. Joe D'Angelo, 28, says he was sexually abused at mikvah, a bathhouse used when he was 7 and no longer has contact with his family. Because like I said, man, the last thing you want to do is go public with this, man. Your family will kick you out. The family, you're making us look bad around our community. We can't make that guy looked bad. He's our friend, you know. So, but Joe Edelman, 23, says he was sexually abused at a Jewish boys' school. So this is two different people. One's name is Joy Engelman. The other one's name is Joe D'Angelo. And he changed his name to Joe D'Angelo. He has a Jewish name, but his family disowned him, so he changed his name, blah, 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 right? So I just wanted to get into his story about what happened to him. And just to show you how easy this is, Joe Engelman and Joe D'Angelo are driving through their old Brooklyn neighborhood, Williamsburg, which is a place from another time and country. The shop signs are in Hebrew. The men scurry by in long black coats, painted, their hair hangs in corkscrew curls. Married women wear wigs to cover their hair. And that's another thing about these Hasidic Jews. They women all wear these wigs. And you know, I mean, it's an obvious wig, like, you know, and I know you got hair. Like, why you? They're not allowed to let another man see their hair, you know, especially a goyim. That's one of us. Well, we're probably just niggas, but goyim mean a Christian or whatever. Engelman and D'Angelo haven't been there in years. They met just a few weeks ago, but as they begin swapping stories, the names of the family members, they realize they had a lot in common. Both men are in their 20s. They were both raised in a strict Hasidic Jewish, and both fled their upbringing for the same reason. The mikvah is a bathhouse usually used by women for ritual cleansing. But in some Hasidic communities, like this one, fathers bring their young sons on Friday afternoons before Sabbath begins. So they doing this shit willing. They're supposed to be for women to have to cleanse themselves after their period. But these dudes decided they're going to start going there every Saturday before the Sabbath to cleanse themselves before they do whatever they do in there with their son. So you're doing it to yourselves, right? Fathers bring their sons on Friday afternoons before Sabbath begins. 21 years ago, when he was 7, D'Angelo recalls going to the mikvah with his father to find the place packed with naked men and boys. And I was in the tub. I had my back turned, and somebody raped me while I was in the water, he said. He takes a shaking breath. I didn't know what was happening. I couldn't make any sense of it, really. D'Angelo said he never saw the man who abused him. These days, monitors are posted by the bath to stop any sexual activity. So they got monitors in these houses normally to stop anything from, you know, because these people can't be trusted. He told no one but refused to go back to the mikvah. He left the Orthodox Jewish religion at 17. He changed his name from Joel Deutsch to cut all ties with his family, blah, blah, blah. So another story about, and let me tell you, this is what really bugged me out, Bev. But before I even say that, this, rape that mikvah, this is this one, then abandoned. And this is the guy I was just reading about in this article from 2009, this article from 2006. 14, it's heartbreaking that just another victim of child abuse within the Jewish community has suffered a tragic premature death. Last week, 34-year-old Joey D'Angelo, formerly Yoel Dush, from New York, died of a drug overdose. So he killed himself on drugs. That dude who was just in that article from 2019. From the abuse that he suffered, you know, either way, let me growing up. So I go to trusty ChatGPT today. I said, let me find some articles about some stories about this mikvah stuff, you know. Yo, that would not give me anything bad about the mikvah bash. Put articles about sexual assault at mikvah. Oh, saying anything defamatory is against the rules and regulate. Like, oh, I was trying to find articles. So I'm trying to trick it now. I'm asking it questions and ways to get me to find articles. And it would not work for me at all. It's like it's a block on you finding anything bad about their mikvah activity. But if you go to Google and just put in sexual assault mikvah, you're going to find articles from every part of the world. They have these things. Same activity. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Same sexual assault allegations. Yeah.
So those
you got any
are
questions,
the Jews that, yeah, uh-huh. Those are the Jews that Robert X is saying that those are Zionist Jews.
Oh, yeah, they probably are, but these are what you call Hasidic Jews. Mm. Have you ever seen the Hasidic Jews?
Oh, yeah, we got a community of them here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so that's what these are. They look like the Amish, sort of. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't shave. They got thigh curls. They call them
right.
Locks, but of course,
yeah.
You know who they're trying to be. But who else would have curls like that? Huh?
Right. Right.
You know, who else has locks? You know what I'm saying? So they have their little side curls that come down, and they wear all black all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Women wear the wig with a hat over it. They women, for the most part, stay pregnant.
Yes.
And they live in their own community. And I won't, a lot of people say, oh, they don't bother anybody. I'm like, they make it so no one can bother with them. You know what I'm saying? It ain't that they don't bother no one. They don't need to leave their community. You know what I mean? Everything that they got is kosher. If you go to a pizza place over there, they got the Jewish dude flipping the pie. You know what I'm saying? The rabbi back there blessing the pizza. It's total different. And they don't care if it's nasty. As long as it came from their people, they cool with it. They don't care how it looks. You could go to them with a pair of Ferragamo shoes for free. Nice Italian leather shoes. $800 a shoe. And they'll take the shoe made by some, you know, little Jewish guy. You know, they don't want, they with their own people. I think that money never leaves their community. Once that goes in there, it never leaves their hands. They pass it from one to the next, to the next, to the next. And
that's true. Because they have a supermarket here. I went in their supermarket one day. And that's all you saw, the kosher this and kosher that. And it was this. You know, so you're right. They got their own little community.
I made a mistake one day, right? So I was, they had this big kitchen, a toy kitchen, kind of that your kids walk in and it had the fake sink and a fake stove and a fake refrigerator and everything. And my daughter was like 4 or 5. And I had to get her this kitchen. It was huge. It was like the biggest one in me. And I found a place that sold this kitchen. It was in Brooklyn. So I looked at it on the map, and I was able to say, okay, I can catch this train there, and I'm going to have to catch a cab back to this kitchen. Man, I didn't know I was walking into that community, bro. Shit, man. So I walked in that store. They was on my ass so fast. Like, yo. I said, I was the guy who called about the kitchen. They was like, oh, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Hey, come on. You know what I'm saying? And this thing was like $300. Like, it was expensive. But, yeah, they, and they said, I got my cousin. He'll give you a ride home. And, you know what I'm saying? They was all about their money. You know what I'm saying? They was going to get them. Yeah, but I was shocked at, like, see, like, you could go out to Flushing, Queens, thing is in Chinese or Korean, whatever it is. everything is, and it has a feel to it that's very much like you're in China. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you get a train over this mall, you in Israel, okay?
Yeah.
And they looking at you like, what are you doing here, nigga? You know what I'm saying? You don't got on a uniform. What are you doing around here? You know, but yeah. Let me keep going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I felt in the supermarket. I felt out of place.
But when you spend some money with them a few times, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got all kinds of things for you. They like money. They like money. They talk to you. They very good at that. Americans are being scammed more sophisticated ways than ever. Americans are being scammed in more sophisticated ways than ever. A woman receives a phone call saying her nephew has been arrested and urgently needs bail money. They arrange for Bill's bondsman to come to her house and collect $29,000 in cash. The following day, another urgent call. The bondsman again turns up at her house, attempting to collect an additional $10,000 in cash for the bill. Instead, he's arrested. That's just one incident that occurred in Sykesville, Maryland in 2020. Michael Ordell Anderson has posted as a bail bondsman, has since pled guilty to conspiring to pursue multiple elderly victims to put up thousands of dollars under false pretenses, says the Department of Justice. excuse me. In total, Mr. Anderson and his co-conspirators scammed at least 49 victims out of more than $842,000, or $578,000 can't be recovered. About a year ago, Lindy Wise, a web designer and all-around technology aficionado in her 60s, received a text saying her Social Security payments had changed. And if she wanted to see why, click here. It was very well done, Mrs. Wise told the Epoch Times. However, at the last minute, she said something didn't feel right. She decided not to click the link. You know, when you walk out in front of your door and you get in your car and you go somewhere and you walk downtown and you have to be aware of what's around you and be alert, Mrs. Wise said. Now we have to just do the same alert online. I get messages all the time, usually several times a week. I'm in the tech industry, and I know what to look for. Wow. These guys know elderly, vulnerable people well. We're less familiar with the technology of our generation, are more trusting, and sometimes we're alone and we're lonely. So we're vulnerable to various types of schemes. And I did this article because we have a lot of elders that call in. And these schemes are even coming up on my phone. And I'm like, you can't be serious. Like, you know, your auto insurance is due or your health insurance is expiring. And, you know, click here. And I'm like, block. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not even, how would you know this? You know what I mean? So, they have the technology now with the smart voice technology. And I just read the article earlier about the toys, how the kids' toys are monitoring them. They know what they're saying. They talk to the toy. The toy keeps a record of what they said so it can remember things later and stuff like that. If you have a grandchild in their teens, and you can get a recording of their voice and then put it through the AI, and the AI can have them say, Grandma, Grandma, please help me. And then some guy comes, I need $100,000 or you'll never see your fucking granddaughter again. Click. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you going to do? it sounds real. It's not even like, you know, in that moment, that was my granddaughter on the phone. I know her voice, you know? So that it's getting that sophisticated. So just to keep in mind, right? In 2022, adults older than 60 reported more than 88,000 complaints to the FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center, with losses totaling more than $3.1 billion. Just in 1 year, that's how much people over 60 were scammed out of. And that's just the ones who reported it. Most people right. feel ashamed to report they got. You know what I'm saying? Victims aged 50 to 59 reported losses totaling a little more than $1.8 billion. So people younger than them is getting it. And victims are nearly 5,000 victims ages 30 to 39 were reporting losses of more than $1.2 billion. So once again, anyone could get got with this new technology, because even younger people, now if you're age 30 to 39 and you have a young child who talks to Teddy Ruxpin or whatever the new version of that is, and they could get her voice or his voice, and you're at work and you're a businessman and you got money and you get a call and daddy, help. And then there's somebody's voice. Now you're going to think, oh, shit, my daughter. You know, you're a young man. You're trying to muster up that money real quick. You know, I got to protect my family. And it was all a hoax. You know, so you got to be careful. Got to be careful. That's a lot of money for people over 60. $3.1 billion in scams. And I'm shocked people from 50 to 59 was at $1.8 billion. Like, damn. But that's, got to be careful nowadays.
Yeah. It's so real. We're back. It's like the Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is another one I did years ago. I don't know. You probably won't even remember, Bev. It says, why Li-Fi? L-I-F-I. Why Li-Fi might be better than Wi-Fi. And I remember reporting on Li-Fi. And people probably think, man, that stuff he be saying don't be happening. But I said they're going to have the Wi-Fi that works out of the light bulbs. As long as your light bulb is on, you're going to have the world's most powerful internet. Once the light goes off, it won't work. But as long as your lights are on, you're going to have a super powerful internet signal. And they're going to put this in areas like a mall or a train station where the lights are always on. So your signals are going to be stronger. And around the same time, I was reading the code for it. It was like 802.11. You know what I'm saying? But either way, this Li-Fi is finally here. It's called, it means Li-Fi is short for light fidelity. Wireless communication for the advanced Wi-Fi technology. Li-Fi enables Wi-Fi to use light waves instead of radio waves to transmit and receive data. This is going to make autonomy for these factories where they got these machines that, like the one that's standing people up at Tesla, that need a Wi-Fi signal. As long as that light's on, they're going to have the best. I mean, this thing is 20, 30, maybe 100 times faster than your cable Wi-Fi. You know what I'm saying? This is super fast. 10 megapixels per second. And so look out for this. Li-Fi is finally here, 2024. Let me take a sip of this juice, Beth. Hold on.
Okay. We will be going to the lines.
the telephone line. So if you want to call in, 323-642-1586 and push the number 1.
Okay.
And you are listening. Okay.
Oh, go ahead,
man.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I gave out the phone number. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got so many articles here. I'm trying to get to the one I'm looking for. Now this week they had the CES. They have the CES show every year in Vegas. This is where all the big tech companies come out and show their future products and the products that they're releasing this year. They get like pre-hype. So everyone does a presentation. Apple, they unveiled those glasses we were talking about. Even the cars now, all the electric car companies, Honda released their electric Prelude and whole lot of stuff that goes on at these conferences, but there were a few good articles on what people say are the important things to look for that came out of it. And this is how you find out what's coming next. So this one, this article is entitled 11 Intriguing Engineering Milestones to Look At in 2024. Journey to the Center of the Earth. Now, MIT startup Quasi Energy is testing a deep drilling rig in 2024 that will use high-power millimeter waves to melt columns of rock down as far as 10 to 20 kilometers. It's the deepest, hottest, easiest strategy to deal with. Strategy will start the oil drill and gas drilling structures and extend them by blasting radiation through the gastron to vaporize the hard rock beneath them. All that to say, they create this machine that able to melt rocks that go down all the way to the core of the earth so they could go further down to get more oil. And this was pretty interesting because this is the stuff that MIT, this is what college is supposed to be. Yeah, you go to college and this is the stuff you're working on. I want to hire you when you get out of college, you know? Batteries included inductive ovens. So as you know, Biden and the nutcracks over there, that's the Green New Deal, they want to get rid of gas ovens. Now we're looking, cooking with gas, but soon we could be cooking with induction. A growing number of consumers are switching to induction-based stoves and ovens to address environmental concerns and health risks associated with gas ranges. But while these new appliances are more energy efficient, most models require a modification to electric outlets and cost hundreds of dollars to install. That's where the money, this is why all this stuff is going to happen. They see new money to get everything converted. You're gonna have to pay for it, and they're gonna make money. That's why they're all invested in it. Well, that's why startups like Channing, Street Cropper, and Impulse Labs are working to induction ovens easier install, adding built-in batteries that supplement regular wall sockets to power. A battery-powered oven now, that's where we get into, where your battery, you charge the battery and stuff it in the oven, and now your oven heats up and you can heat your food up. And this company actually made one. So that's telling me that they serious about cutting the gas out the ovens, you know what I'm saying, Bev? If y'all was coming up with battery, I'm going to cook something hot in something with a battery in it. You know, it just don't even add up. Triage tech to rescue. In the second half of 2024, the United States Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, DARPA, will begin the first round of triage challenge, a competition to develop sensors and algorithms to support triage efforts during mass casualty events. So these are going to be robots, right? Acting like, dealing with a mass casualty event. What struck me about this is if you go to the DARPA subterranean project, it's on YouTube, and you can see how DARPA had all these colleges and all these computer experts with, like, a robot. Most of them had that dog, you know, that spot dog, and they put their own sensors and stuff all over it, and they put it inside of caves. So they put them in a pitch black cave, and these robots have to walk through and do certain things in this pitch black cave, like they could see in the dark. You know what I'm saying? This is, and they had a winner, and the winner got the contract to do the military. So now they're doing the same type of challenge. This is going to be medical triage. So these are going to be very advanced robots we're going to be seeing coming out on DARPA this year, and I look forward to that. As killer drones deploy from the sky, a new class of missile and firing drones will take to the sky in 2024. Like the three-layer aerial nesting doll, the missile-stuffed drones will itself release from the belly of a bomber while in flight. And I saw the prototype of this. So you got the big bomber plane with all the bombs in it. And usually it goes, flies over a country, and it drops the bombs out. And the bombs, you know, fall to the ground. And hundreds of them fall at one time. And they blow up, you know. But what this bomber does, instead of having just 100 bombs, it got a couple of drones in it too. And these drones come out, and they got bombs on them too. So you got like double the bombs, you know what I'm saying? Pretty interesting. But they're coming out with that Visible Anti-Activity Tracker. Visible will launch a premium version of the app. They use the specialized heart rate monitor. While most wearables are meant for workouts, Lehman products armband monitor optimized lower heart rate to help people with long COVID and fatigue. So either way, they got trackers now that's just designed to check your heart rate, check your blood sugar. It's a lot of that type of stuff coming out. Much more advanced than the watches that we got now. You're adding more layers to it. It's able to do more. Amazon launches new internet service. Amazon is expected to begin providing internet service in space with the Project Jupiter by the end of 2024. The U.S. $10 billion project aims to expand reliable broadband internet access to rural areas around the globe while launching constellation of more than 3,000 satellites. SpaceX, of course, as we know, they already got over 5,000 satellites up there. But this, what makes this one different, they're going to do the same thing as SpaceX. You're going to put an antenna, or if you live in a rural area and you can't get internet, and you can't get cable and Wi-Fi and all that stuff, now to get the antenna, you put it on top of your roof. And that antenna is able to contact their satellite, and it brings the signal directly in your house in the most rural area. This one's different because unlike Tesla's, which is Elon Musk doing this for his own proprietary game, this is a federal government-funded project, this Project Jupiter. So this should be free. So we could see some high-powered free satellite internet. But we'll see. Solar-powered test drive. And there's a cars now. You can look this car up. It's called Aptera. A-P-T-E-R-A. Aptera. They only make one car, I believe, now. It's a three-wheel car. Really nice looking. Has three wheels. I think it holds three people. Totally solar powered, not battery powered. electric powered, not gas powered, or sunlight powered. And it's pretty fast. Doesn't use any of the charging, doesn't need any gas, strictly sunlight. So this is the next step to where we're getting to. A lot of people complain about the battery cars, and I keep telling people that's the first step. It's going to get better. You know, they got to get to the point. If they don't go through this step, then they can't get to the next step. But this is where they're trying to get to. Total solar-powered cars where you don't need to put any energy in it. I think it's genius. Zero trust, two-thirds confidence. Okay, so trust will be trust but verify is now the proverb of the last of the past in cybersecurity policy in the United States. By the end of 2024 fiscal year, in September, all U.S. government agencies will require to switch to zero trust security architecture. All users must validate their identity and devices even when they're already connected to the government network and via VPN. What struck me is I can't believe the government didn't already have it. I got to do this at my job. Like, what are you doing? You know, I can't log into my computer. And when I log into my computer, I got a with a whole nother app that gives me access to a security feature that's locked on my computer. It gives me like a 4-digit code, and it changes every like 30 seconds. It'll say 30 seconds to type this code in. So I got to type that in my app on the computer within the 30 seconds, or I'm going to lock out myself, and I got to wait for the next code. But until I go through that verification process, I can't open another device. And if I leave my desk and come back, I got to go through that whole process again to re-log into my computer. Of course, because I'm on a stock exchange. They don't want anyone stealing data. But I can't believe the United States just started with this. And I get phishing emails. I think I might have told you about that before. Phishing with a PH, where they'll send me emails, you know, from an outside person that look authentic, and if I click on it, it says you've been phished. I'm not supposed to open an outside email. So, you know, first light for Vera Rubin. Vera Rubin Observatory, home to the largest digital camera ever constructed, is expected to open the eye in the sky for the first time in 2024. The observatory features an 8.4-meter wide telescope. It was in the southern hemisphere skies over a course of a decade period. They're equipped with a 3,200 megapixel camera. I didn't even know cameras could go that. Well, either way, this is going to be down in Chile. And they got this huge telescope that's going to pop out of the mountain with a 3,200 megapixel camera. It's going to be the most powerful telescope on Earth. And that'll be opening in 2024, but should give us crystal clear pictures of the other planets and stuff outside the galaxy, because we're in the fourth dimension. The fifth dimension is space. They got to go through time to get to space. Got to go through light to get to the darkness. You know, time is the light. Hailing air taxis at the Olympics. The Olympics is this year, Bev. It's going to be in Paris.
Okay.
And I was shocked to find that Paris has more rats than New York. I said, what? Yeah, I hear it's filthy. I said, it's dirtier than New York. They was like, oh, New York is clean compared to Paris. I said, damn. You know what I'm saying? So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, me neither, because I expected to see Eiffel Tower. They say, man, you walk down the street, the rat is looking back at you like, nigga, please. You know what I'm saying? But at the Olympics, they're going to have the air taxis rolled out. where you'll be able to catch a taxi. They look like a little, they don't look like a car, but they operate like a car. It's going to lift you up and fly you to the event. This is going to be revolutionary because this is the future. You know, this is where they're going with the cars. They're going to be more than just things that you ride around in. They're going to actually fly and get you places without the plane. But it has to go through these processes. So in Paris, they're going to be using these. They have used them in Dubai already. They have people who have them in Dubai. They get the from their little mansion or whatever they live in, top of their building, they got their little little aerial, they call them VTOL, V-T-O-L. They're like a car that flies. And they have those all over the place at the Olympics this year, so they're finally coming to the West. Faster than the speed and bullet, this is the last technology of this year. Boom, I've been hearing about this company for years. I don't know if you remember the Concorde, babe. You remember the Concorde?
What was the Concorde? Was that a plane?
It was a plane.
Okay.
It was a plane.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, it was the world's fastest passenger jet.
Mm-hmm.
And it would fly from New York to Paris, from New York to London. And it'll get you there in like 2 hours. Because it went faster than the speed of sound.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'll see the plane fly past you, and then like a minute later, you'll get all this boom, like this loud boom that you'll hear, because that was the sound of the plane, but it was flying faster than it sound. It took a whole minute for you to hear it, you know what I'm saying, after you saw it. So this company, remember, one of them crashed. And when one of them crashed, they canceled the whole program because, remember, everybody on this plane is filthy rich. You can't catch this plane if you ain't rich. You know, it's like what, $50,000 for the seat, something like that. But this company called Boom Technology, they've been testing this plane for years. I've been looking at it. It looks similar to the Concorde, but they're opening up their facility in North Carolina to start building the jet. So it replaced the Concorde finally. So I thought that was interesting too. This one here is CES Preview. Now CES is the show. That was what I just read was the 11 intriguing engineering milestones to look for in 2024. This one is entitled CES 24 Preview, a tricorder, magic mirrors, a solar EV, the hunt for the cleverest consumer electronics begins now. Okay, now CES is the is the show every year. It's just like a car show or any other type of, you know, I used to go to the card show where they would have all these different cards, people that collect cards come. And you go there and you buy, you can buy boxes of whatever year basketball cards, from whatever football, baseball card, whatever card they had. I used to be big in that when I was like 20, 21, 22. I had so many, I know I got thousands of dollars worth of cards if I ever sold them. I got probably $200,000 worth of cards if I ever went through. I can't remember. Well, I know I used to have some real good stuff. But either way, and it's 20 years later, so I know they were way more money now.
So
I got them
when
in
you said cards.
Yeah,
oh,
playing
okay.
Cards, y'all. I would go to the, go buy the pack of the football cards and baseball cards and basketball cards. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like Tops or Fleet or there's a few companies.
The different players.
They have all the players.
They have the different players. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, player cards. So I would get all of those. I was in the basketball. First I started with baseball, but then I got into basketball because my neighbor, he was into the basketball cards, and he took me to a show. and the show was a card show. So when we got out the cards, when we got there, they had all these booths with all these people with all their expensive cars, like a Michael Jordan rookie car, you know what I'm saying? Something that is only a few of these cars made. So if you have it, it's worth a lot of money because somebody wants it. They're going to have to pay for it, you know? So when you go to the show, you could buy the box of cars for the whole year. So, like, let's just, the NBA sells the cars. It'll be like, let's just say 1992. That's the box for the whole 1992. So when you open the box, all the packs are in there, like what the store sells. I'll have to open each pack to try to get, I'm looking for specific cards that's worth a lot of money, you know what I'm saying? So I might have to go through 5 or 6 boxes just to get one card. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was where a box would be like $80. Like, you had to spend money to get these cars. It was a, I know if I go through my collection, I got some cars. My mother's like, I got your cars, baby. I got your cars. Something happens to me. Your cars is right in this place, right? So I got my cars. I know I got $100,000 with the cars, man.
Okay.
All in
place.
Okay.
You got like a loose leaf folder.
Yeah, it'll be a big binder. And then you had the 3-hole punch, but it'll be plastic. So that all my cars is in that plastic. I know they good.
Okay.
I know they good. Okay. And they was a. And they've been away from me because I would have smoked them out. You know what I'm saying? But, nah, they good. They with my mother. They
so
good.
How do you know which ones are valuable?
Well, back in the days, what we would do, you got to go to this, go to any, like, they don't exist anymore. I'm sure you do it online, right? But back in the days, we would go to the magazine stand. Right, like, you know, where the car magazines and Cosmo and all those paper magazines.
Right.
They had a magazine called Becky. It was called Becky.
Becky?
Becky. Oh. Like B-C-K-E-E-T. E-T-T, Becky. That's the card book. You got baseball Becky, football Becky, and they had it, like, up to date. So when you get the Becky, they have every card for every year in the Becky, how much is worth. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, like, you go Fleet. If you had the car company was Fleet, you go to Fleet, 1992, NBA. Now they got all the cars have a number on it. So you just go right down the list of all the cars in your pack. So, yeah, that's how you check it. Now I'm sure they got it online. But once you get a certain car, you know, like, you can see, this car is already worth $1,000. It just came out. So you know, like, that car is going to have value in the future. You know what I'm saying? If it's already worth $100, somebody rookie car, if they became a Hall of Famer, like, I got Kobe rookie car. I got some shit. I ain't going to lie.
Oh, okay.
I got everything Jordan ever did, I got. I ain't lying to you. I got it all.
Okay.
You know, Shaq, I got everybody's stuff, man. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But, is this finally the tricorder we've been waiting? The real world version of Star Trek tricorder has been a grail of consumer electronic industry. A decade ago, Qualcomm offered a multi-million-dollar for any team that could create a mobile diagnostic device. In 2017, it crowned its winner. BMO device is a multi-scope that is designed to monitor key vital signs, acts as a thermometer, an oximeter, a stethoscope, and an electrocardiograph machine all in one. The company says the package is smaller than a smartphone, which it is. It's real small. It's intended for informal at-home checkups, telehealth visits. BMO can perform blood oxygenization, heart rate monitoring, readings, and other things, as well as conduct medical-grade electrocardiograms, ECGs. It can raise the temperature, take temperature readings via infrared scan and temporal arteries. It can gather heart and lung sounds. BMO needs a touch of the chest or the back where its presbyopia electric disc is. The device picks up sound waves and the sound can be streamed directly to the physician. So this one little device here, it's like the one they got in Star Trek. You know, they just scan your body with it and then your body pops up on the computer screen and they can see, they want to see your heart, they can see your heart. Or they want to see your lungs, they can see your lungs. If they hold it to your back, they can see the back of your lungs. And all this is like with this one little device. This, I mean, it does what an MRI does, a CAT scan, an EKG, all in one little device. And it's made by this company called BMO device, Multiscope. They're calling it a Multiscope. That is at the CES, meaning that it's coming out this year. This is stuff that their consumer show. People are coming here, Walmart's here to buy stuff. You know what I'm saying? Target's there to buy the new TVs that's coming out. You know, everything is for them. Okay, mirror, do I look so stressed or depressed? Okay, I'm not sure if I want a mirror telling me I need to calm down, but maybe that's just me. So I'm trying to be open-minded about Barracuda BeMind Smart Mirror. BeMind, is the company indicates, will only recognize the user's mental state is less than a par, but will suggest exercise and activity to improve it, including light therapy, guided meditation, and self-affirmations. Barracuda reports that the mirror glass uses the company's AI-based CareOS operating system to interpret expressions, gestures, and spoken words. So this mirror, since when you're in a bad mood, it says it can offer you some light, soft flashing some lights at you that calms you down, or it can put you in a meditative state. Or as it says here, it gives you self-affirmations. Man, you look so handsome, Thomas. Man, that's a nice smile. You know, you look good today. You're going to have a great day today. So this is a mirror. Now, that was called BeMind. This is another mirror here. Magic mirror, I'm getting sick. Neurologic, a neuromagic mirror. The magic mirror captures blood flow patterns, and it analyzes them to determine heart rate, respiratory rate, blood pressure, cardiac workload, mental stress, diabetes risk, fatty liver disease risk, and other vital signs, disease possibilities. So this right here, this is a one's trying to make you feel good. Senses you're bad. This one can sense if you're going to die pretty much and diagnose you. Well, you better go to the damn hospital. You know what I'm saying? So, get in there, Beth.
No
plug. Yeah. Oh, this one's Look Mine, No Plug. This EV runs on solar. I just told y'all about the Aptera CEV. This is a whole nother one. This is Squad Mobility, based in the Netherlands. They have this little two-seater plugless EV. Guess how much it costs, Beth? Solar EV plugless. $6,250. $6,250, that's it. Runs on solar panel. Only holds two people. Doesn't have any doors or windows or anything. It's probably, you know what I'm saying? It only goes about 50 miles an hour. But if you're just doing city driving for $6,200, never buying gas, you know, this is where they're going. They got everybody riding around on goddamn bikes now. You know, so what's new? What's different? Do we really need a new way to cook? You got microwaves, toaster ovens, steam ovens, sous vides, and air fryers, along with traditional gas and electric stoves. But do we really need another cooking technology? Fiji attempts a pulsed electricity field, cooking and baking to date. To date, the technology has been used for commercial food industry, mainly for pasteurization and liquid and semi-solid foods. Fiji says that the patented approach uses 90% less energy than a traditional oven and retains nutrients. The company promises CS demo baking blueberries in less than 3 minutes. So this is using pulse. What they call it, pulse electric field. Instead of microelectric fields like our microwave uses, it uses a pulse electric field, and it cooks twice as fast and makes it twice as crispy. So
do it have the radiation? It don't have the radiation like the microwave do?
I have no idea, Bev. I'm going to look into it. But I just thought that it says pulse. I'm like, I don't think I want to stand too close to that shit. You know, I got a pulse. I don't want to lose my damn pulse. You know, but, yeah, interesting. Beware of cats bearing gifts. The problem, some cats like to bring their owners gifts. Gifts of prey, that is, from hunting expeditions. The product, Clappy, is a cat door that recognizes the cat by its RFID chip and only opens the door when the cat is not carrying a gift. So if you got the little, you ever see the dog's bag, you got the door with the little square thing on the door, and the door just comes in the house through the little square thing.
Right.
You know what I'm talking
right.
about?
Yeah. Yeah.
They have this for cat. This one's going to have a camera on it and a scanner. So only your cat, once your cat pulls up, it's going to scan its collar and get its RFID information, which is going to unlock the door. But it's only going to unlock the door if the cat isn't coming in with a mouse. Because if it's coming in with a gift, they call it a gift that it caught, you don't want it to come in your house with it.
Right.
So I just said, damn, they putting this shit on cat doors and stuff, man. This is smart stuff is going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
You got any questions, Val?
Yeah. When you do some research on that, the light wave, you know how now they got those patches out that they healing through some kind of light therapy or vibration therapy.
Oh, light therapy. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to know more about that. I do have a hand raised.
Okay.
Let me see. Area code 804-855. Area code 804. Okay.
I must have put him to sleep.
Oh, no, they gone. Okay. All right, go ahead, Tuckmoss. That was it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm down to the end here, Bev. Seven serious concerns as transhumanism threatens our humanity and human race. So can't let the year start off without talking about some transhumanism. Number one, billionaire transhumanists exploiting the masses for a globalist takeover. While in their quest for money and power, power grab, world takeover, the globalists want to reach the state of immortality. In spite of huge developments, of course, they see transhumanism as a way of becoming godlike immortal beings. And we've been talking about the one to live forever and all these ways they want to save their brain so they can put it into something else, or all these human enhancement. This is all real. They're spending billions, trillions. You know, when you got 10 billion, if you're Bill Gates, you're Warren Buffett, you're Elon Musk, and you got $100 billion. What else are you going to, what's more important than living? How much money I'm going to spend to live if I got $100 billion? You get what I'm saying, Ben?
Right, right.
I mean, what's more important for me to put my money in? Someone say, yo, come over here. If you just put $100 million, give me $100 million. I'm working on this therapy that will make you live an extra 10 years. Here it is. Take it. I got billions. I don't care. Take this $100 million and figure that shit out for me, okay? So that's how that goes. Number two, irreversible losses to our spirituality and spiritual connection. To blindly, unquestionably, and unheatedly accept transhumanism. Just seeing it from the what's in it for me point of view. Let me start that over. To blindly, unquestionably, and unheedingly accept transhumanism, just seeing it from the what's in it for me point of view, and all the cybernetic bionic enhancements, mind state changing pharmaceuticals, nanotech, roboticization, gene modifying biology, poses a serious threat. The serious threat is the loss of spirituality and spiritual power, the oneness that we are truly. One connects to God. Godness is all there is. This is where our human qualities reside. Love, caring, sharing, compassion, empathy, without which the whole human race is in whatever form would become tumbling down. And that's all true. When some can be, it's like some being important to you. You ever saw the show, the movie Bev, when Tom Hanks had the volleyball?
The volleyball?
Yeah, he was in a plane accident, and he ended up on an island, and he had was this volleyball that washed up one day, and he put a face on the volleyball, and he would walk around the island talking to this ball because he's on an island all by himself. Everyone thinks he's dead. And, you know, he has, to keep himself from going crazy, he created a friend.
Okay, yeah, I think I've seen that. A long time ago.
And then, then the volleyball washes away and he cries, but either way, he gets saved. He gets home. And he's in the room. And everyone's saying, he done lost it. And he's just flicking the light on. And turn it off. And turn the light on. Turn it off. And what I took from that is, he's thinking to himself, shit, this is easy. I couldn't see shit at night for years. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have a light was so... This is nothing now, you know, and that's what happens to humanity, right? When it's nothing for someone to just work out and get fit, but everybody's opinion is, I'm just going to go have a surgery and have him suck the fat out of me instead of running and getting it done yourself, then you start to lose the, appreciation for exercising, right? Like Hollywood people, they don't exercise. They go get the surgery done, or Cardi B. Well, when she get too fat, she just go get sucked out, put into that. You know, now she got a brand new body, but she doesn't have appreciation for the exercising. And as we use more of this new technology, we're going to lose our appreciation for our spiritual connection to one another. As we're seeing now, more people aren't engaging with each other. They're engaging through a device. You know, that device has no feelings, has no spirituality. that goes to number three, humanitarian forfeiture And that's just pretty much, it says here in the article, from year to eight, the relation to number two, all human qualities will have to be irreversibly forfeited. We have nothing but vicarious, loveless shadows of what we used to be. If everything is just handed to you, you don't appreciate anything. It's like the spoil you kid. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't appreciate nothing because he never had to work, you know. That played out in the movie with George Bush called W, where he was just the fuck up. And his daddy was George Bush, the first George Bush. His daddy's daddy was Prescott Bush. And Prescott Bush was first generation wealth. He had to work for his money. He's a no-nonsense, up early in the morning, keep his foot on his kid's ass type of father. And then George Bush grew up rich. So he didn't have the same drive as his father. He worked hard and did everything he was supposed to do because he was afraid of his father. Now he has his son, George Bush W. And W grew up rich. He ain't never had to care about nothing. He getting in trouble with the law. His daddy bailing him out saying, damn, I wish I was more like my daddy, man. You would never get away with this stuff because you lose that appreciation. You lost that humanity. Money, it don't matter. He had nothing to work for in his life. He grew up his daddy's filthy rich, his granddaddy's filthy rich. He could just fuck off. It doesn't matter. If he doesn't appreciate anything, you know? Number four, hive mind control. Okay, granted, the technology will be, well, let's go here. As a summarization of the above 1 through 3, don't be fooled by the convenience, con, or offer of enhancement. Granted, these technologies will be great for those in need of disability aid and such things as prosthetic limbs, replacements, etc. But above all, ultimately, the technology will be used to dehumanize the masses. Masses will be integrated into unambiguous AI-controlled hive mind, the Internet of Things, becoming part of the AI-controlling hive mind. So we're seeing this now. We got to think the way they want us to think in order to use their platforms. You can't have an opinion that they don't want you to have or they'll punish you for having it. So after a while, if you see somebody get punished for having this opinion, then you're not going to have that opinion. So look at black people. How many black people did they have to punish but one? Kanye right back in his place. So he went on there and talked about he got $11 billion. They took all that shit from him. So you can't even bank with us no more, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Everything you had, we took from you. Have you heard a black person come out since say anything?
Mm-mm. No.
One person in Hollywood, have they said anything about Israel's war? Nothing. Zero.
No, they don't.
Not
they
always
thing, right?
They attach that money to everything.
So that's a hive mindset. Everybody knows if I say something, I'm going to get in trouble. So they hive mind is telling them, I'm going to shut the fuck up and keep my job. You know what I mean? Number five, close surveillance of the masses. Close surveillance of the masses. Every aspect of the masses will be under close surveillance. For example, what about mass surveillance by monitoring drug doses through pills that are microchipped? Everything about surveillance, man, we did a lot of episodes on surveillance capitalism. This is how they're going to make their money. They got to surveil you. They got it all set up so surveillance is big money. If they can see what you're doing and monitor you, somebody wants to pay for that information. It's the biggest industry in the world, bar none, is collecting data. Biggest industry in the world. Whose data they collect? What else is important to collect data on for humans? You understand? Like, nothing else thinks for themselves. Where are all this data being collected on us? They're not collecting data on deers. They don't care about what bears are doing. You know what I'm saying? Number six, exposing major health issues. In recent years, more and more every day, vaccines, experimental drugs have been used, and they're capable of changing human DNA. As we know, disturbing, not fully understanding the outcome, these mRNA vaccines may incorporate into our DNA of the host, the body's host cells. They will irreversibly change our genetic makeup and how our genes express themselves. And that was number six. And number seven, the last one, transhumanization and weaponization. The current onslaught of our humanity incorporates an invisible war using a variety of self-weapons. There's the use of aerial spray chemicals, chemtrails, as we call them, nanobots, nanotechnology, psychotronics, implanting, scale of wave generation, energy directing, chemical weapons, magnetic technology, all designed to assault the human race. Most humans have no idea this is going on. And that's the end of that article. I thought it was interesting that they started the year off right by giving these titles, Seven Concerns as Transhumanism Threatens Our Humanity and the Human Race. There's nothing human about transhumanism. And the key to transhumanism, once we accept transgenders, that's it. Then they can throw the trans, that transgender is going to turn into human. It's the introduction.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going through now.
Exactly.
You read.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. But that was all I had, Bev.
Okay. Well, we're down to our last 6 minutes. And I don't have any more hands raised. So you've given about the technology. Mm-hmm.
I got one I want to give people to get on their own. It's for a lot of people, but this one is very in-depth, and I want people to look and see if they could tell the difference. It's called Generative AI Has a Visual Plagiarism Problem. Generative AI has a visual plagiarism problem. And look that up. It has a lot of pictures, and you got a one next to the next, and you're comparing them. But this one came out today. It's got GMO synthetic milk. It's called GMO synthetic milk. No antibiotics, no hormones, just dairy. A new completely lactose-free dairy. Dairy without cows. The fake milk sold by bored cows. And I've been seeing this in all the stores. I didn't know this wasn't real. It's BORED cow. Fancy packaging, real nice packaging. Uses a wannabe whey protein called microflava, called Profern, made by their partner Perfect Day, a consumer biology company on a mission to create kinder greener tomorrow by developing new ways to make foods we love today. Started with dairy cow. They claim their product is a new kind of animal-free milk alternative made with real milk protein from fermentation. Okay.
Where the milk come from? I see your voice leaving.
Fermentation. They said from fermentation, but let me go on here because I got this. Health Research Institute, a nonprofit independent lab based in Philadelphia, Iowa, examined multiple samples of bored cows' original flavor milk using mass spectrometry to test the claim that the synthetic protein it contains has the same as real milk protein. HRI, which is the Health Research Institute, compared these results of natural milk from grass-fed cows. Their testing revealed 92 unknown molecules and fungicides within the milk. And the synthetic milk protein used more than a dozen food brands sold in common grocery chains. So this milk is being used in foods without them saying that they don't got milk.
People are drinking chemical.
It's straight chemicals that taste like milk. Mm. Absolutely. And once again, it's called Bored Cow, B-O-R-E-D, cow. And you'll see it at your local, well, in New York, I'm starting to see it in the bodegas. As you go into the corner stores, I see it as a next to the Yahoo and all the other chocolate milks and stuff.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
And I know they got meat out, too. That's not real meat either.
Yep, they got the synthetic milk, but now they come in with straight. Now, I've like my daughter, she drinks the almond milk and the oat milk, which is made from grinding up the oats. And that's one thing, because that's coming from something organic, right? The nut.
Right.
But this is, straight chemicals. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
They really trying to get rid of humans. I do have a hand raised. Let me open their line up. 323-207.
Hotep.
Peace.
Better
love.
Yeah, Tut, I just wanted to chime in, man, and just let you know we here with you, rocking with you. I appreciate the Friday night rotations bringing in the Sabbath. But, I just want to chime in to see what you had thought about the Bitcoin ETF. I've been hearing about things getting approved. And, just trying to get some of your insight in regards to the crypto sphere.
Oh, man, I'll be honest. I saw that something happened on the stock exchange with it. A bunch of the people were there talking about it. But it's been so big, I haven't followed it. But what my plan is, what I'm going to do, I have my cryptocurrency expert named L.A. Ramon. And I'm going to try to have L.A. come in next week. And L.A. will be able to break all that stuff down because L.A. follows it. Me, I just put my money there and I act like it's not there because I'm not going to touch it until I see what happens. You know, I don't try to, you know what I'm saying, even think about it. But he's like, this new one and that one and that one. So I'm going to let L.A. come on next week and knock it down. Hopefully he'll do the show.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate you, Tut, man. It's becoming one of my favorite shows next to Baba Robert X's rotation, man. So just keep up the great work. And I appreciate you, Lucky B. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very
appreciate
much,
appreciate you. Thank
Alrighty.
You. All right, Tug Most. Thank you. Looking forward
to
next week.
Yes,
and,
love you as always. Thank you for the platform.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Better love, everyone.
Better love.
Tug Most.
Yes, ma'am.
There's funds for all the leaders. Let's all take a mind. Take a mind. There's funds for all the leaders. Let's all take a mind. Take a mind.
Yeah, got out the 600 blunted chicks on them. Neighborhood, no, we coming. JK, them snakes cannot buy. violate him. Pimps memorize his line verbatim. He reps in YO, gifts he knows to Wino's. Not church, this how we tied though. He walks the tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back Mac and Benzes. Never puts cash or ass before a friendship. He laughs last, as some die young, he is still existing. Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch. When he talks, we listen.
Who do I copy? Look into the mirror and it's you, I say look at me. Everything you like it fresh from the factory. Everything you do it impact me. Your lifestyle attract me, parents try distract me. When I grow up I want to be like you exactly. And as soon as I get up I just act me. There's no way anybody could have stopped me.
My gravity is the wadiara and all the mannerism. Descending out of order and man start moving busy. The locking of the corners, the streets and all the buildings. Me love you like a father, me ready and me willing. Anything where you are tasked is lying my dominion. And me have similar thoughts, I share the same opinions. Me have it say you smart, with my best interest at heart. I'm following your path, don't mind where you are walking.
Out, the Caesar, the monsters, the grandiose, the martyrs, the hell on earth pompers, Ellsworth, Bumpy Johnsons, the Harlemites, the Garveyites, black as the credit card we swipe, popping down tonight for all of mine. I can see myself back at the Audubon, Malcolm on the podium, shells drop to linoleum, swipe those, place them on display at the Smithsonian, next to only gems that were left behind by holy men, infectious, charisma of those who gave us direction, the anti-sexist, resistance against oppression, progressive thinking, ghetto speakers, protesters against the colored only section, to the genesis, the frost Nixon, the contradiction, the cross, the crucifixion, the loss we took for sinning, all Easter's back inscription, that it was written, that nothing is coincidence, and they took our leaders and they lynched them.
It's fun for us.